Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greetings, fans of the esoteric, and welcome to the show. And what a show we have for you today. Grimoires, listener letters, I don't know. It's the normal rubbish, to be honest.
Yes, and you are always honest, my dear.
Well, no, I'm not. I lie for a living, Bernard.
Oh, come now. I mean, lie for a living. Bend the truth, perhaps, or spin the facts.
Or maybe invent something entirely to get what I want.
Jenta, I'm not sure we should be telling the audience that.
Well, I wouldn't normally. But unfortunately, I've been drugged, Bernard, with truth serum.
Oh, no! You're joking. What happened?
Well, you see, here's the story. I had an urge for a lunchtime cocktail, you see.
Yes.
But I'd run out of bitters. And lemons and limes and cherries and pretty much everything. Not even a cocktail sausage to pop on a stick and adorn the glass.
Oh, goodness me, what an emergency.
I know. And I'm no heathen, Bernard. I'm not going to quaff a nude drink at lunchtime.
No, absolutely not.
No, there are rules, aren't there?
Yes.
I mean, breakfast alcohol doesn't count if you mix it with orange juice. That's a rule.
That's true, yes, that's a Christmas rule, but it could be applied all year round, couldn't
it? No, that's an all year round rule.
Yes, of course. Right.
A Christmas rule, though, is you're allowed to have a shot at any point during the day.
Yes, yes, traditional festive shot.
But outside of Christmas, no shots until 3 p.m.
Right, yes, of course.
Although any religious holiday will do, really. So Easter?
Yes.
Shots allowed anytime.
Shrove Tuesday. Pancake and a shot.
Mm. And, of course, the other rule is lunchtime cocktails must have a little umbrella and a semi-edible accessory that gets stuck in your teeth.
Yes.
Yes.
True.
You need to be able to chew it so that it feels like, you know, you're eating lunch.
Yes, yeah, a substantial meal.
Yes. So I thought, well, I'd run out, you see. So I thought, well, I've got plenty of dried herbs and tinctures and what have you, you know, magical ones. So I could put them in my drink.
Yes.
And that would work.
Right.
In replacement of the, you know, cocktail sauce.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I left the liquor room.
Yes, we should explain to the listeners that we have a liquor room. It used to be a liquor cabinet, but it's a room now. It's got a slide in it.
Yes. And I went into the controlled substances room.
Goodness me.
That's where I keep my more powerful mystical items and unguents and all the rest
of it. Yes, the good shit.
Yes. So I had a rummage in my esoteric drawers to see what might complement a vodka Campari Blue Nun mix. What are you laughing at?
Yeah, Bernard? I'd like to have a rummage in your esoteric drawers, Magenta.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's very funny. You know, half the audience aren't going to understand that. They're from North America. And elsewhere, we have a very international audience.
That's a good
Hello
point.
Hello to you all.
Yes,
so you might want to explain to them.
Oh, goodness, I'm going to have to explain the innuendo.
Just say what drawers means.
Well,
first.
So drawers is an old-fashioned way of saying undergarments.
It's
so,
very old-fashioned. I bet half of our UK audience don't understand what you're
well,
talking about.
Well, maybe. So by saying I would like to rummage in your esoteric drawers, I was suggesting that I enjoy, you know, putting my hands down your underpants.
My magical underpants.
It's rather graphic, isn't it?
Yes, it
well,
is when you said like
well,
that.
Well, let's cover the embarrassment with another fact, shall we? So, the Cockney rhyming slang for drawers is earlies or early doors.
How do you know that, Bernard? Oh, are you
well,
a Cockney?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I just like to dabble in interesting cultures. And so, the early doors refers to the habit of getting to the music hall nice and early to get a good seat for the show.
Very up-to-date slang, this.
Yes, yes, down with the kids. The show, of course, presumably being songs containing lots of underpant-related innuendo.
Oh, yes. Or a performer showing a cheeky little flash of long underpant when the lady lifts the hem of her floor-length gown.
Yes, very exciting
Risky.
Stuff. Yes. Mm. And so, in conclusion, if one were a Cockney, one might say, "Cool, blimey, governor. I was hoping to get my Alice Benz on me lady's earlies and have a good old Wurzel Gummidge.
Disgusting.
Well, I hope that's clearer for all of our overseas listeners.
Oh, yes, I'm sure it is. But what is wrong with the British that we have to hide under these layers of innuendo?
Yes, mm.
It's
yes.
like a cryptic crossword, except every answer is boobs or bum.
Yes.
And we must have more words for testicle than the Inuit have for snow, don't we?
Bollocks. That's true.
Bollocks.
Yes. Mm. Nuts.
Ball bag.
Yes. Yes. Bread baskets.
Knackers.
Ghoulies.
Mother's mumps. Brass clankers.
Family jewels, mm. yes.
Plums.
Twiddle diddles.
Tallywags.
Billy bean bag.
Whiffles. Nadgers or nads.
Yes.
If you know, you're in a hurry.
Mr. Tingle's feather duster.
Yes. The custard factory.
Yes, yes.
Whirligigs.
Gooseberry fools.
Bishop's pillow. Plumpty Dumpties.
Terry's chocolate orange. Sorry, what were you saying about being drugged, Magenta?
Oh, yes. Yes. So, anyway, so I grabbed a few herbs and unguents and what have you from the controlled substance room.
Yes.
And I made my cocktail. Disgusting, sadly.
Oh, no.
I barely managed 2 pints.
Oh, goodness.
And it turns out I inadvertently had made a truth serum with my cocktail and my herbs and unguents. You should have heard me on the phone to your father.
Oh, God. Did he ring?
Yes, he did. And he won't be doing that again.
Oh.
So anyway, I'm going to be extremely blunt today. Just a warning for any of the listeners who sent in a letter.
Right, goodness me, right. Some hard truths.
Yes.
Shall we do the letters?
Yes, why not? So the theme this week is sound, which Bernard chose because you're interested in sound, aren't you, Bernard?
Yes, yes.
Unlike everyone else.
Well, all right.
So anyway, the first letter's from Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Have you ever done a Canadian accent on the show, Bernard?
I'd probably do an awful job of it because it's a sort of... It's to our untrained English ears, it sort of sounds close to an American accent, but not quite, a bit softer.
Well, it's got the oots, isn't it?
Yes, a few different vowels.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Yes, there we go. Perfect.
All right.
Off you go.
So this is from Buzz in Canada, and I do apologise for this Canadian accent, Buzz. Dear Magenta and Bernard, I have the good fortune to be setting up a new recording studio. One thing I'm having trouble with, though, is finding the source of some constant hum in the room. We've disconnected all the possible devices we can think of that might be the culprit, and really don't want to have to open up any walls. Before we rush into anything like that, perhaps the spirits can offer some insight. Thanks kindly, Buzz in Canada.
Very soothing accent, Bernard.
Yes, I'm not sure it was particularly Canadian, but it was very nice.
Well, you didn't have any opportunity to say a boot.
You didn't say a boot once.
So how are you supposed to identify it's in a Canadian?
There's literally no way of doing it. Yeah.
So there's a buzz, there's a constant hum in the room, and they've disconnected things, so it's not electrical.
Now, this is very frustrating, and I relate very much to this, Buzz. It's
awful. Has this happened to you, then?
Oh, when you get an unusual noise that you can't get rid of. And, of course, in our house, I don't know whether it's something to do with my, you know, equipment.
Or a demon.
Or some sort
of... Or bees.
Yes.
Or a vibrator.
So is it my department or your department? Mm. Or some sort of shared department?
Or it could be tinnitus, my dear.
Oh, goodness, it could, yes.
It could be internal.
I did used to be in a band in the 80s.
Yes.
I did play a lot of loud...
Does the buzz follow you outside the house?
Well, yeah, some days I feel like... But then I don't know if I'm just going mad.
Or if you're secreting a vibrator upon your person.
It's always a possibility.
Did we lose one of the buzzing eggs and forget to retrieve it?
I feel like we might have done. Mm. But then you don't know, you start to doubt yourself, don't
yes.
you?
Anyway, let's answer dear Buzz's question. So we have 3 books to do our bibliomancy with.
Right.
I'm not changing the way that I do... I do this.
Psychic
you know.
Readings.
I'm not doing tarot. I'm not doing runes or I Ching.
You've developed a system, haven't you, dear? And it does work, doesn't
it? Bibliomancy or nothing.
Or nothing.
So, the books today we have The Witcher.
Oh.
Because I'm very much enjoying The Witcher on Netflix at
yes,
the moment.
Yes,
yes. Mm, very enjoyable.
Plenty for everyone in The
Absolutely,
Witcher, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yes, no matter what floats your toast.
Yes. And we also have Assassin's Apprentice by Robin Hobb. Very good series. Very much enjoying. And Actresses Audition Speeches. For all ages and accents. This is from when I was trying to be an actress, Bernard.
Yes, yes. You've had many, many strings to your bow over
yes.
the years, haven't you?
Yes, although I gave up this one in disgust because they were trying to typecast me as some sort of battle axe, which was ridiculous.
Now, that is ridiculous, isn't it?
I'd go for the blushing ingenue part and they'd laugh in my face. It's a fix. The whole thing is a fix. You've got to be related to bloody Judy Dench to get anywhere.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Or Maggie Smith.
Yes. Or Oh, the other ones.
Well, there's what's her name from Daisy Ridley from Star Wars, who's
she's,
everyone.
She's related to what's his name?
Mr. Godfrey from Dad's Army.
Mr. Godfrey from Dad's Army. Don't tell me she didn't get Star Wars because of God Dad's Army.
Everyone.
I bet she walked in that audition room and said, "Do you know who I look like? Mr. Godfrey from Dad's Army, and do you know why? He's my great-uncle."
Something like that, yes.
And I bet they were like, "Well, then you're the lead in our Star Wars
Perfect.
Movie, young lady."
That's who we needed to be the sort of the next saviour of the Jedi.
It's all a fix. If I was related to someone in Dad's Army, or are you being served?
Yes, John Le Mesurier.
Yes, can you imagine the power I would wield if I had a connection to John Le...
I am the granddaughter of Arthur Lowe. Give me this a Hollywood movie.
Yes. It's a fix. I should have just lied, shouldn't I?
Yes.
Mm. Anyway, so which one are we going to use to answer Buzz's problem?
Should we try The Witcher?
Oh, yes. Let's do The Witcher. All right. Okay, so give me a number, Bernard.
Right.
Or shall we do the flicky-flicky thing?
Oh, we could.
Yes, all right. Flicky, flicky, flicky.
Flicky, flicky.
And just tell me when to stop.
Yes, flickety, flick. Is flicking the book.
Oh, going
yes,
into the trance.
Yes.
Oh, he's doing trance.
Some strange mist hovering in the air. Stop.
Right. And so 220. Give us a number.
3.
It was warm, stuffy and cosy in the room within the barbican. The Barbican.
The Barbican.
That's in London, isn't it? They do theatre shows.
There's somewhere in The Witcher called The Barbican.
And exhibitions. I don't know. I haven't started reading this yet. I've just been watching the TV show. So, well, it's talking about a room.
Yes. Warm, stuffy and fluffy, did you say?
Warm, stuffy and fluffy.
I thought you said fluffy.
I didn't say warm. What kind of book is this? What a warm, stuffy and fluffy room.
I thought you said fluffy and then it sounded very insulatory.
How is a room fluffy?
Well, if it's full of sound-absorbent insulation, as
well,
I know.
Well, it's very interesting you say that, Bernard, because maybe that's the solution.
Yes, it's so usually the solution.
If the buzz is in the walls, then you need to get away from the buzz by putting a load of insulation.
Right.
So it's not so much identifying the buzz and sorting out the root problem. It's covering the problem up
yes.
with thick insulation.
Deferring the problem.
Yes. And it'll be very warm, too.
Yes.
And Canada's very cold, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
Is it always cold?
I think, not always, but they do have summers, but it can get very, very cold.
Well, if they'll need a different studio for the summer, and this is only a winter studio now.
Ah.
With thick... And I'm talking like several metres thick insulation.
Like an Egyptian pyramid of insulation.
Like a chamber, a burial chamber within a tiny cube where you crouch
yes.
and do your sound design and what have you.
A tiny booth, yes.
Yes. So that's what you have to do.
So it was fluffy actually mentioned in that?
No, it's warm, stuffy and cosy.
Cosy.
In the room within the barbican.
Well, another thing as well, of course, is when you build an effective studio, you often want to create a room within a room because that gives you total isolation from outside
is
noise.
Is this a genuine sound fact, Bernard?
Yes, it is.
We don't need it.
All right. I mean, and not to mention the fact that if it's an electronic buzz, then no amount of insulation is going to make any difference.
The sentence after this is very revealing.
Yes.
A fire crackled merrily in the hearth, and behind it, a cricket chirped fiercely.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's a cricket. It's a cricket. So
nothing.
The only way to get away from the cricket is meter thick insulation.
Well, that will do it. Yes, if it's the buzz of a cricket, you're loads of insulation, and you should be sorted.
Isn't that amazing that we came to the solution immediately, just like that?
Yes,
like we were. As I mean, this often happens with bibliomancy. It just delivers the answer up to you,
yes.
wrapped in a neat package.
Absolutely,
no interpretation needed. Just there.
Job done.
Job done.
Hi. I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Right, let's move on. Let's move on. That's enough time for Buzz.
So,
next is our very treasured listener, Newton.
Ah, yes, Newton writes in a lot, don't they?
Yes, we do. We always welcome Newton's contributions.
All right, so...
And I've been given a truth serum, so you know I mean that.
Oh, goodness, yes, of course. Well, how shall I read this letter? Because I can't remember where Newton hails from, and so...
Well, why don't you do a Geralt impression?
Oh, God, oh goodness. From The Witcher, this is Henry Cavill.
Although you just boil it down to... fuck.
Fuck.
In that case.
Damn. All right, I'll have a go.
Dear Madam Magenta and Bernard.
Blimey.
Good morning. I have an interesting sound-related problem.
Ooh.
Since I was a child, I have had a hypersensitivity to various sounds, making them louder and more bothersome to me.
You could be a Gerald stand-in, Bernard.
They get to the point that I often have headaches due to these loud noises. Is there any advice to try and lessen the noise?
I'm so distracted by this voice.
Anyway, I hope you have a lovely day, you two. From Newton Green.
I'm leaving the pauses that he would leave.
Yes.
You know, is appropriate.
It's very effective. That was...
Gosh, I didn't
quite
know...
Quite something, Bernard.
I didn't know I had it in me.
I mean, goodness.
I'll remember that for later, shall
yes. I? Yes, yes, please do. So, what was it again? Hypersensitivity to various sounds.
Making them louder and more bothersome.
And you get headaches due to these loud noises. Is there any advice to try and lessen the noise? All right, so which one shall we pick?
Well, shall we see if there's any wisdom in the actor's audition speeches?
All right, Bernard, give me a number.
Okay, 113.
113. So that's The Steamy by Tony Roper. And give us another number.
Six.
Six. Ooh, and the person doing this speech is called Magritte.
Magritte.
Which sounds a bit like Magenta.
Does a bit,
Did
yeah.
you say six?
I
One,
said
two,
six.
Two, three, four, five, six. So you've goot the hoost... Oh, it's in Scottish dialect.
Oh.
Right. So you've goot the hoosty yourself, and what do you do? You tidy. That's what it says.
Right.
So you've got the house to yourself, and what do? You tidy. That's what it says.
Right. Now, I find tidying the house rather soothing, personally.
Which is a good job, because I hate it.
Yes, you do, don't you?
I never do. And it drives me mad, to be honest. It's like torment.
So it's not that you like a messy house. You just hate cleaning so much.
Yes, I want to expire from boredom within about two cups of washing up. Washing up mugs has to be the worst thing.
You have a real problem with the washing up mugs, don't you? Sometimes you can bring yourself to wash up a plate or two, but the mugs, they...
You know, if I was a housewife back when housewives had to be housewives.
Yes.
Well, I'd be on the gin.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm not now.
You'd be on even more gin.
I'd be on even more gin. Yeah. Mother's ruin.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, Newton, so I think what it's saying is if you find tidying up soothing, then that might help.
It might, yes.
It might. Or you start speaking to yourself in a Scottish dialect.
Ah.
Yes, while tidying up. Because I find, you know, sometimes when I'm pootling around, I'll have... full-on arguments with imaginary people out loud.
Oh, yes.
Just for fun.
Sometimes if I'm working in the studio and then I come into the house and you don't know I've come in, I hear you having entire conversations.
Going, that's outrageous. I won't stand for it. I mean, it's just good fun.
And I never know whether you're talking to a ghost or whether you're just rehearsing an argument in your head.
It's about 50-50.
Yes, or replaying a scenario.
And I find it very soothing. So you find tidying up soothing. I find arguing with invisible entities very soothing.
Yes.
So Newton has to find something to self-soothe, to take them away from a, you know, difficult sort of situation. Although, is that basically becoming disassociated?
Retreating into oneself.
This seems to be a theme. We told Buzz to basically
to build a kind of sarcophagus around themselves.
Well, sometimes the spirits do have a theme for
yes.
the week, and this is running away from your problems.
Sometimes the spirits control a little, can't they?
Well, they're not necessarily trained professionals either. I mean, we ask them questions as if they might be therapists.
Yes.
And then, so bear in mind, everyone, when we give you this advice, it might be like a dead plumber giving you advice.
Yes, yes.
We might be tapping into, not that there's not some very wise plumbers out
there. I'm sure there are.
But it might be like a financial analyst.
Yes.
Who's passed over to the other side, who suddenly feels like he can give you advice.
Yes, who dropped dead of stress.
Yes.
And so maybe it's a terrible thing to follow the advice.
It might be a 12th century sheep botherer who hasn't got a clue about modern life. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So you've got to take this with a bucket of salt.
A bucket of salt. Throw that salt over your shoulder.
Not a bucket of it. You could hurt someone.
Oh, gosh.
Also, it's costly, especially if you're going for that Himalayan.
Yes, Marden sea salt. Costs a fortune, doesn't it?
You've said their name now. We should try and get sponsored by them.
Marden sea salt. Costs a fortune.
For chucking over your shoulder and into the eyes of your enemies.
Yes.
Yes. So we've got a couple of letters that are quite exciting updates now.
Right.
The first one is an exciting update that we received literally today. Oh, it's not even an update, actually. It's more like a solution to last episode's letter.
Oh, yes. Someone offering a bit of advice of their own.
Yes. Yes. So go ahead, Bert.
All right. So now I don't know.
Well, he gives advice. So it's from a chap called Tomix from Tel Aviv, Israel. Mm-hmm. And he says, I absolutely can't wait to hear Bernard attempt that particular accent and hope he won't find some way to escape the task.
Oh, gosh.
My tip to him, overpronounce every vowel as if you were reading it on its own. Best of luck to you.
Overpronounce every vowel as if you were reading it on its own?
Yes.
This is going to take you forever.
Well, no, you do it quickly.
All right. Okay.
Go for it. Just go for it.
All right. I've been a long-time fan and was rather surprised during last week's episode to hear Max from Palestine, Israel, write in and ask for assistance.
This doesn't sound very accurate to me, but
I'll carry on.
Yes.
Ask for assistance in finding a job so they can live here in Tel Aviv, which recently won the glamorous title of most expensive city in the world, EP.
This is reminding me of those aliens in Galaxy Quest.
Yes, those ones, yes.
Yes, yes.
Yes. It's not often I randomly encounter others from this part of the world, and I've decided I want to help. It would just be way too cool if they managed to find a job because two people happened to be listening to the same psychic podcast.
Isn't it? It's exciting. This is an exciting letter to get.
Very. I'm not an employer, but as soon as I was listening to the episode, I was passing a new sandwich shop that is under construction and opening soon. A construction site for a new light rail system opening this year, a brand new luxury hotel that's about to open its gates, and because I was keeping my eyes peeled, the very next day or so, I saw that my favorite vegan junk food place is hiring. Perhaps, if they'd like, I'd be happy for them to contact me for the specifics. I might also have a lead on a smaller, more casual job if they know sound design.
Ooh.
Which, while not really anything you can pay rent around here with, is fitting to this week's theme.
Ooh.
How about another reading to tell them if any of these jobs are worth pursuing, and if so, which?
So do you hear that, Max? So this is very specifically for Max. I hope you're listening.
Yes.
If any of those opportunities are of interest to you, do let us know and we'll hook you up with Tomix.
Wonderful. This is sort of, like a sort of jobs matchmaking service
as well. Isn't that lovely?
That's a new string to your bow.
Maybe they'll become lifelong friends.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes. Oh, he also says at the bottom, I was also going to include a question about how to resolve there being too much noise at my partner's house. But it's been quiet lately, so let's put a pin in that. However, I think that's quite a good question for people who are finding there's too much noise in their shed
Oh, yes, yes.
They're flat shares.
And that's going to be a lot of people, isn't it?
Oh,
almost goodness. Everyone at some point has had noisy neighbours.
Yes, so shall we have a look for that?
Sure.
Why not? What one shall I go?
Well, we haven't used the Assassin's Apprentice by Robin
Hood. That suggests a very final way of getting rid of the noisy people in your flat.
Effective intimidation techniques, maybe.
No, I think assassins aren't into intimidation.
No, they're not into intimidation. They sort of get the job done before you've got any chance to do any intimidation.
Yes, I'm afraid so. There's no warning, I don't think. Anyway, let's see what they say.
All right.
Give us a number.
59.
59. And another number?
4.
59. 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. I wished idly for something else, for any situation that was neither this forsaken chamber nor the tenseness of Boric's room. It's about rooms.
It is about rooms.
Yes. And
it
took me utterly blank.
Took
there,
me a moment to actually grasp that.
Yes. So, and the tenseness of Boric. So, I'll give you a little background. Boric is a sort of father figure. So, it's like the choice between being in a noisy place where you're a bit more independent or having to go back to your parents' house.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And that was specifically something that Max was talking about last time.
Yes,
it?
Yes. And it does feel sometimes like you're between a rock and a hard place.
Yes.
It doesn't really offer any solutions.
No, it's just telling you your problem again, really.
Well, it's sort of going, we understand, we're listening, and we're not doing anything else, like supplying solutions.
So is this, yes, a sort of a Fraser Crane from the other side, rather
yes.
than offering any actual solutions.
Sometimes all you need is an ear, isn't it, rather than someone giving you solutions to things. Although if you're writing in here, you're probably looking for a solution.
Yes. They're being a little bit obtuse, the spirits today, aren't they?
They really are. They're basically going, you're on your own, mate, sort it out.
Oh, so
that was exciting. Thank you, Tomix.
So we have one further update about the pissy cat.
Oh, the pissy cat. I love the pissy
Hamish.
Cat. Hamish.
Hamish. So Ryan, who is Hamish's human, writes in. Did I do a voice for Ryan? I can't remember. Oh, he was Brummy, wasn't he?
Well, Hamish is Scottish. Why didn't he do that?
All right. Magenta, you are amazing. We've had a small development in the past few weeks when the vet suggested we try giving Hamish antidepressants, which have worked beautifully. Frighteningly, though, the dose they initially gave him did indeed knock him out, as you suggested. So we amended the dosage accordingly, and he is now much happier and he has only pissed over my sofa once.
Oh.
Your advice to love the piss out of him truly was beautiful, and I love you even more for it. Thank you so much for being amazing, Ryan and Hamish.
Oh, you're very welcome, Ryan.
What
and
a happy
Hamish.
End to the
that,
story.
Isn't it? And it's always nice to read out a letter that tells us unequivocally that we are indeed correct.
And great, yes.
And magical.
Yes, magic.
Isn't that wonderful? So the poor cat was depressed.
Goodness me.
And it just needed to cheer up. Gosh, can you imagine if we were like that?
What, whenever we felt a bit down...
We pissed everywhere.
Uncontrollable incontinence.
I mean, at least you'd know, though, because sometimes a little bit of depression can creep up on you, can't it?
Yes.
And you're not even sure what's wrong, or if there's anything wrong at all. Whereas if you were uncontrollably pissing everywhere, you'd have
yes.
a very easy diagnosis of, oh, I must be a bit depressed.
I mean, people talk about not being taken seriously with invisible illnesses and...
Oh,
and
the doctor, my God, if you go to the doctor for anything which isn't, like, a literally... Someone's chopped your leg off.
Yes, yes.
They'll and especially if you're a woman.
Yes.
They'll go, are you depressed?
Yes.
And it'd be really nice to be able to go, well, if I was, I'd be pissing everywhere.
And do you see a puddle of piss on
yes.
your floor?
Have I just pissed on your rubbish, uncomfortable seat?
Yes, with,
no.
with the bit of strange paper that they lay across the bed. On
well, it's only when they're examining you, Bernard.
So maybe...
Do they do that for you? You go into the doctor's office.
You go in with
office.
Depression and they say, well, I better examine you. No, that's actually not right. I didn't. But that...
Get up on the stirrups. Let's examine you for depression. Yes. Anyway, there we go. We're not going to give medical advice, obviously.
No. But it's a very happy story today.
It is. And loving the piss out of people is just, you know, it's a nice thing, isn't it? So the next category for the next episode is pets.
Yes, very fittingly, we decided pets would be a good sort of topic to...
Yes. We want more amusing cat stories, I think.
Yes.
So that's all we have time for today. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank us for being essentially a valuable public service.
Magenta, we haven't read out a diary entry.
Oh, shit. Oh, God.
They haven't heard what happens next with Stephen from Foucault's Pendulum. You
oh,
know, with his
no.
possession and all of that.
Oh, well, we haven't got time now. I've got an appointment at the nail salon.
Oh, are you getting your nails done?
Oh, no, just my pointing finger. So just one nail.
Ah.
I've had to do some accusatory pointing recently, you know, at people in shops who aren't wearing masks.
Goodness, yes.
So I'd like something a bit more talon-like and longer so it keeps them away.
You had a proper go at people the other day,
didn't
you?
I did, and I was pointing at them and going, wear your bloody mask!
And you picked the largest man that has ever been in that particular branch of
Tesco.
I
did, and then I hid in the peanut butter aisle, yes. Practically shaking. Anyway... true story. I mean, I'm on truth serum, so...
Yes, yes.
You know, but I could have really benefited from having a really long fingernail on my pointing finger.
It would have intimidated him even more, wouldn't
yes.
it?
Yes. So anyway, we're just going to have to do a double update diary entry
yes.
next week.
Gosh, this story is taking a while to tell, isn't it?
Yes, well, good job it builds to a truly thrilling climax then,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes,
one
yes.
One that no one should miss out on, for it is very surprising and drawer-dampening.
Early doors, yes. Moisten your earlies.
Moisten, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Little reminder of the fact from earlier.
Yes, yes.
Yes, all right, Bernard. Let's say goodbye now.
All right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
This is I reporting. He's at the Lao Chang restaurant, Changchun, northeastern China. It's spring 1997. Once it's started, I'll leave him in Ming's hands. That's a joke. Ming doesn't have hands.
And what do you do exactly, besides dance with strangers?
I work for the postal service.
You're a postman?
Weird, right?
Miss Cloutier, what is it?
It's just a bit strange. A letter for me from Hong Kong. And there's no stamp.
I need stamps to write a dead person?
Yep, there's a cost.
How much?
A pound. A pound of flesh. A pound of you.
It seems like a lot.
Lift up your shirt!
What's that?
Just hold this tube over your stomach. Guiyao dong la.
Ah!
Yeah, this is gonna hurt.
What?
Nothing!
Ah!
Very worst thing that could possibly happen.
Is that a police write back? If your letter can find me here, then I think we have a lot to talk about. Saludos, Raul.
The Very Worst Thing That Could Possibly Happen, an audio drama in 9 parts, produced by Wolf at the Door Studios. Out now. For more information, please visit WLFDR.com.